Happy September 22nd, 2020, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We appreciate you listening. Maybe you're listening live. Maybe you're listening on the archives. We'll find out later. All right, but however you're doing, we want you to know we put a new schedule up on our website on Saturdays. And you can find our website. I'm going to give you a new way to do it. Go over to our equity website, which is ACE-ED.org. That's the website for our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And you'll see a new icon there called Education Talk Radio Podcasts. And if you click through there, it'll take you over to the Education Talk Radio site. But we're just trying to put the two together so that it makes more sense so that you know that we work together. All right, so it's all over at ace-ed.org. Also over there, again, our consortium, we'd love you to join. It's free to educators pre-K-12. But the current issue of our magazine is always up on site, and this September 2020 issue of Equity and Access, our online journal, which you will love. I do hope you go over there and read through it. It has a wonderful article about using music to engage students to learn, and in particular mathematics. And we're going to talk today, okay, with the company that we use to help us create that article, and that's Museology, M-U-Z-O-L-O-G-Y, Museology. And if you go to museology.com, you'll learn all about them. We have Lana Israel, who is their founder and CEO. She's great. She's been on before. She's actually smarter than I am, if that's possible. And also another person much smarter than I am, Shirley Forehand, who's the math department head. We're going to talk to somebody who's using Museology in Little Rock, Arkansas at Hall High School. So it's going to be a really nice show, which, again, you can archive over at the ace-ed.org, the Education Talk Radio. Click through. We tweet over at EduTalk Radio. LinkedIn is Larry Jacobs. Facebook is Larry Jacobs and Education Talk Radio. If you want to friend us, follow us, link with us, whatever the case may be, but join our equity consortium. That is important at ace-ed.org, the American Consortium for Equity and Education. And enough of me blabbing. Let's welcome back Lana, first of all. Hello, Dr. Israel. How are you?
Hi, Larry. It's great to be back. How are you?
I am fine, and thanks for coming back. And by the way, I want to thank Allison, our good friend Allison, at your company. You like to have your name pronounced Lana, right? Right? Lana.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and I can't help you.
I live in the South now.
Yeah, I'm from Philadelphia,
South,
so you'll always be
Lana
Atlanta to me.
Yeah, that's Atlanta.
Right,
yeah.
Like, I don't say Atlanta, I say Atlanta. So Lana, Atlanta, okay? So I'll do Lana today, see
that's
how that
true.
Works. Welcome
tomato,
back.
Tomato, tomato.
Thank
you.
Thank you. And surely I know you're one of the smartest ladies in all of Little Rock, aren't you?
I try real hard.
And I think you succeed. Math department head over at Hall High School. Tell us a little bit more about you. Okay, what's school like? What how long you been in education? That sort of stuff.
This is I'm going into my 26th year of teaching, and I have always done secondary math. I've always taught algebra and geometry for 26 years.
Wow.
It's really different because about half of my students are what we call virtual, which means that they log in, they stay at home.
Yeah.
They watch each, and we do Zoom meetings. They get their assignments all via computer. And then the other half are what we call face-to-face, and they're actually sitting in my classroom. It's a unique situation. My largest class is 8 students this year, and so I really know them one-on-one.
Well, you really are. And what creates the difference? Why are some kids coming in? And is it the parents' choice who comes in and who stays home?
It is the parents' choice. And just giving them the ability to choose what they felt like was going to be best for their family in this day and time. And what was going to work best for their students. And, you know, a lot of my students that chose to come back face-to-face, they were like, I do not learn virtually. I need you.
I need the
teacher in front of me. So I was really impressed with some of the maturity levels that they demonstrated in their answering of the questions.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? And this pandemic, as bad as it is, I don't mean to make light of that, But the pandemic is going to make a lot of change, make us open our eyes and have the kids and parents open their eyes as well. See the value of the teacher. We can explore the relationship of teacher-student with all this. It's really, really interesting, and it's going to force all of us to do things, to learn to teach in new ways, because that's the way of the world right now. Surely we appreciate everything you do over there, believe me. And I speak for all of your students, all of the parents, okay, for a long time now, okay, in Little Rock, you've been doing it. I mean that. You've been doing a great job, and this is a tough year to be a teacher, okay? It's a tough year, all right, to say the least, if I may. And, you know, so I congratulate you, and just have the best advice, have fun with it. Okay, we're all going to learn together. Yeah, but you and the kids, okay? But we appreciate what you're doing over there. Lana, tell us about musology, and tell us also, we're going to talk about learning through music, particularly math, okay? But the Grammys, tell us about that, Dr. Israel.
Lots to tell you about. Well, first, I want to say hi to Shirley. She's one of our favorite musology educators and just a remarkable educator and person. So, Shirley, it's an honor to be on Larry's wonderful podcast with you this morning.
Thank you
for the compliment. double whammy there. So, yeah, thank you.
So a lot to address. Let's see. So I'll start with your first
Grammy.
Question. Tell you
Grammy.
A little bit about
you're too young to be a
Grammy,
you but
start...
you're not too young to win a Grammy. Talk about it.
So for anyone that's not familiar with musology, we started musology to harness the intrinsic learning power of music to really supercharge the learning process. And it was based on the very vast, widely understood observation that we learn so easily when information is put to music. In fact, we see students who struggle with learning, yet they know the words to all of their favorite songs. And if we ask why is that, it's because music activates brain regions that are critical for successful learning, namely memory, attention, motivation, and emotion. So music's kind of the perfect storm when it comes to learning. And so when we looked at how music was being applied to formal education, we saw that it kind of wasn't. It was limited to more informal early childhood learning. And then after kindergarten, first grade, short of novelty songs, it disappeared from the learning process. So we said, what if we can assemble a team of hit songwriters and music producers and create really great sounding, relevant, contemporary sounding music and accompanying music videos. I like to say MTV quality, but a lot of people don't know what that means anymore. But, MTV quality music videos to teach entire subjects. And when we looked at K-12, what just jumped off the page, as Shirley can attest to, as such an acute pain point, was pre-algebra or algebra readiness. And we said, you know what? Let's start there. Let's start
to use the force
and power of music to really solve a persistent and pervasive problem. And so we began with our algebra readiness series. So fast forward to today, Larry, that was about 5 years ago when we developed and launched Musology. We recently released our first album, Love at First Sound, When Math Met Music. And it highlights some of our most fundamental musology songs, which are also fundamental math topics that students need to learn but struggle with, from long division to fractions to graphing. And we updated all of those productions so they sound even better. And the album is available anywhere you listen to streamed music, Amazon, Spotify, Apple Music. And we've submitted the album for consideration for Best Children's Album Grammy. So if any NARIS voters are out there, take a listen to Musology's album.
Absolutely. I hope you get nominated. It would be just great.
Thanks, Larry.
And you know, I got to tell you something. I always like to toot my own horn about this. Shirley, you're close enough to, maybe you've been to Mardi Gras. I used to go to Mardi Gras in New Orleans when my kid lived down there. Okay, and you watch these kids from the New Orleans high schools, okay, put their bands go marching by in the parade, and the bands are absolutely incredible. It's so obvious these kids love music. Music is mathematics, Mathematics is music. And I kept saying over the course of the last 10 years, why aren't the teachers using music to teach math? It's a natural to engage the kids. And here we are. How did you find out, Shirley, about musology?
I was invited by Susan Hutchinson through my principal. And Susan Hutchinson is our first lady of the state.
Ace's wife. Okay, got it. Yeah. Right. I knew the last name sounded familiar. Yeah.
And so my principal, who is awesome, brought it to me and he said, check it out. Tell me what you think. And it was love at first sight. I went back to him within 24 hours. And I was like, please, let me do this. Let me do this. And I've used it ever since then. And that was 2 years ago. And like Lana said, my students struggle with fractions. What I was seeing was that my ninth graders, if there was a fraction in the problem, they just skipped it. They didn't even attempt it.
Yes.
And so you get on a state test, they're skipping problems. They're shooting themselves in the
Yep.
And so we really did a hard focus on fractions using musology. And my students came running up to me after they took the state test and told me they didn't skip the test or they didn't skip the questions. That didn't necessarily mean they got them right, but at least they gave themselves
a chance. They're looking at them and they're thinking about them and they're engaged with them. And that's the key. That's the key right there. Okay. And before I forget, Shirley, will you take my SATs for me? Don't mind my math side. Just a question. Lana, how'd you find out about, how did Mrs. Hutchinson find out, the governor's wife?
We had met at a social event in Arkansas and just began talking about, obviously, what we both did. And she's a remarkable woman.
She's
a former educator. Former educator herself and also a pianist and just absolutely like gets the idea of not just gets it, is a huge proponent of arts integration in the classroom and in education.
Wow.
And so, as Shirley said, when she saw musology, it was like love at first sight. When it just kind of clicked, she got it right away. It was something that made a lot of sense and fit well within her world view of effective ways to enliven the classroom and reach and connect with young learners and motivate them and inspire them and really look at learning for the whole being and the whole person and very holistically. That's how those conversations began.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and you, we were talking about it a little bit before, the connection between math and music is so obvious that I think people skip over it. Okay, they go, that's pretty obvious, and we don't even pay attention to it educationally, pedagogically. Okay, thank God you are these days, and surely for you, for being an educator who sees this right away, I really appreciate that. I only wish my math teacher in high school had listened to music, okay? Instead he had a whip and he'd make us crazy, okay? But that's besides the point. I want to talk to you. I want to bring this up to date, all right? And that is about the COVID-19, all right? And not just about how you're returning to school. You already explained that. But we stopped school, the physical school, brick-and-mortar school in March. We all did. And none of us knew what we were doing, how it was going to work out. We had basically spring training for this fall semester, okay, all spring, and we all went remote trying to figure out what to do, et cetera, masks, no masks, whatever the case may be, all right? And so, Shirley, you're in the classroom, okay? And tell us, have you noticed, and I'm going to call it a COVID slide, we usually use that like summer slide, but our slide this year started in March, and again, everybody did their best. Please don't misunderstand that, but it was a learning time, all right? So there has been a COVID slide, both by educators pedagogically and also for students in learning. And what have you found? Is that term relevant to what's happening today?
Very much so. This year, I am teaching all 10th grade geometry, and when I start talking about solving the equations that is from algebra, I'm actually having to go back in and reteach because theoretically, they have not been in the classroom for 6 months.
Yeah.
So you can almost double your summer slide that you get because even though we finished out the school year, it was minimum because we were trying to, you know, locate the kids, make sure that they were able to get assignments in, trying to connect with them. So it was very minimum what we were finishing out with. And then, so you can almost literally double the loss of education that they've done. And then they immediately went into a summer routine for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of them,
yeah,
you know, typical teenagers, I'm going to stay up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you know, sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning playing video games. I don't get up till 1.
Right.
You know, it happened in my own house. So, you know, I know that this is teenage mode, and I was working at 9 and 10 o'clock at night with the kids, going in on the weekends, working with them, trying to meet their time frame, not making them meet my time schedule.
And you're a pretty good teacher to do that, I got to tell you, and that's really what we have to do. And you know, you said something very interesting. The one thing every educator knows, with a teenager, the later we can let them sleep in the morning, the better off they will learn. And we have yet to produce a school that opens at 10 in the morning. But I'll just leave that alone, okay? I'll just leave that alone. We know that. We just don't do it, okay? It's another thing. It's like math and music. We know it. We just don't do it. Now we can, okay? And you changing, doing a time shift, Shirley, is really saying something. I got to tell you. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, and this strikes me as interesting, I describe what are the demographics of Hall High School where you teach?
We had what is called reconstitution. In the past, we're still a Title I school, which means 75-80% of your students get free and reduced lunch.
Mm.
We, in the past, have been 80% African American, 75%
mm-hmm.
African American, the other 25, probably 23%. Were ESL Hispanic students.
Mm-hmm.
We had anywhere from first year in the country up to they were completely integrated into the American culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 1-2% other. My students in ninth grade typically came to me anywhere from 3-5 years behind in math.
You know, you talk about we use the term underserved populations, and we got to get out of that. And you know, it's so amazing. And since you talked about, you know, ELL students and other or whatever, you know, music, if I may, is the international language. You can have a person reading music in China is reading the same music that a guy is reading in Topeka, Kansas. Music is an international language, and you know, it's just so important that we use that to teach these concepts and all that, because it doesn't matter where people are from, there are things. And I'll tell you, with the underserved populations, and I would imagine the COVID impact was higher in your school than might be in somewhere else. Am I right, Shirley? Just because of the way the per capita rate of the disease is happening for African-American folks and Latino folks. Am I right?
Yeah. And so fortunately at our school, we have not been hit like it has been hit at some other schools, but we are seeing it in the county where I live. We see it at a higher rate in the lower economic.
Yes, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. So my point being, we got to take advantage of we got to make sure that these kids are learning while we have them, while they are engaged, because they are going through enough trauma. So we got to make the learning engaging, okay? And if not, God forbid, their families get it, the family next door might get it. I mean, and we're going to have, I hate to say this, we're probably going to have a second surge pretty soon, okay, because we're all getting a little lazy and lax about it, and it's just going to happen, okay, just human nature, all right? So, this is it's really, really, really key. Take all that into consideration, and especially at Hall High School. And by the way, we've got a thing. You heard me at the beginning about equity. I hope you join our consortium over at ace-ed.org. We got our magazine over there, et cetera. All right? And please join in with us because this equity thing is key. But, Shirley, put the music, if you can, okay, in line with the equity thing and your particular student population. Or put musology in there. The kids react better to music, don't they, no matter where they're from?
They do. And one of the nice things about musology, when they're watching the videos, they're seeing a wide range of race, economic, culture, everything being brought into the music. And it's very relatable. 2 years ago when I piloted the program, they were able to give feedback to musology and let them, they were able to voice their opinion on some things. And they thought that was just phenomenal that somebody out in the real world was listening to them.
Yeah, oh boy. I'll tell you, it's just absolutely amazing. What are you finding, Lana? You know, this is Little Rock. Little Rock's an urban center, so to speak. All right. What are you finding just across the country, Lana, as you work with teachers in Shirley's particular, in the same basic situation?
We're seeing the same results that Shirley's seeing with her students, and she's got. The students that we got to meet and interact with in Shirley's classes are just wonderful, amazing, amazing young people. And it was a real honor as well to get to visit Shirley's classroom and interact with her students and get to chat with them. I think you raised a really important point, Larry, that of COVID slide and that of increased need for engagement now more so than ever before, especially for learners who are working remotely. But even for learners in the classroom who are in the classroom because they need that in-person engagement. And so I know when Shirley and I spoke about how she was able to use musology during school closures end of last year, and I think you commented, Shirley, like musology was the one thing that your students actually wanted to do when they were working remotely. And so I think that engagement piece is essential, Larry. And I think the other thing that's so essential, I mean, you're just talking about this kind of malaise that we're going through, but I think this has been a very hard time emotionally and psychologically for young people. And I think bringing mediums and tools into learning for them that not only are engaging, but just are fun, that bring a smile to a learner's face.
Yeah,
it's really important right now. And that's another thing that, hopefully musology does is just makes learning enjoyable and fun. And kids are watching people singing and dancing and learning should be fun.
And let me ask you this, Lana. Okay. I want to hear it from you, okay? What are they learning? And this is the key question. What are they learning in the videos? Because people may be listening, well, I can memorize an Agata DeVita, what it sounds like, but I don't know what the heck it means.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And we want people to understand the concepts behind math, which is something, by the way, I will say it again, as I always do, I was never taught. Okay, it was just, I had the worst math teacher in the world, okay? And I use that term loosely, math teacher, all right? And that was a long time ago. I still have pain from this. But what did they actually learn? They're watching a video. Just pick one that you like.
Yep.
What are they actually learning?
Okay, great.
You can throw it to Shirley if you want. But I'll ask you first, then Shirley. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like tag teaming with Shirley. So, I'm really glad you asked that question, and I'm looking forward to Shirley's comments as well, because as we discussed earlier, like when we see music used outside of kindergarten, first grade, it's usually like one-off novelty songs, 50 Nifty United States, Periodic Table, Bones in the Body, that it like all those things are as you. as you alluded to, Larry, rote memorization.
Yes.
And so when we started and rote memorization has a place in the learning process, but there are other things we want learners to do and achieve. And so when we started Musology, we were very thoughtful about that. And what we set out to demonstrate was that music could be used as a credible pedagogical tool that transcends rote memorization and that could actually teach procedures, algorithms, skills, concepts. And so that's what we do with our math music videos. It's not just kind of drilling and hammering home just rote math facts, but we, in addition to the on-screen talent that Shirley was talking about, who they're singing and dancing and presenting information, we have motion graphics that help demonstrate the math that we're singing about. And by the way, the dancers' choreographed dance moves also reinforce the information. So it's a very multimodal experience for the learner. But we're showing them like math procedures, math algorithms where possible. We're teaching them concepts. We're solving problems in the videos. We're applying the problems. So, for example, positive and negative numbers, that video goes into the difference between, you know, kind of what debt is in a bank account and how absolute value is important when understanding the size of debt, for example, a bank account, or a cash flow positive bank account. So, I mean, we do, where possible, find ways to apply the principles to problems that are in the standards or that become applicable to the students as well. But Shirley, I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah, and Shirley, take it one step deeper. I also want to I want to hear from you the kids' reactions, okay? Because they're probably like me. They're going, what was she talking about before the music? I don't understand this. And all of a sudden, they get it, okay? And I'm just curious about the kids' reactions. So please continue.
Well, I'm just going to pull one of the videos out, uses order of operations. And I have student after student after student that comes in and goes, oh, you're talking about PEMDAS. And they can tell me parentheses, exponents, multiplication, division, addition, subtraction. They have no clue that you work left or right just like you're reading. None. They just go down this list and they take it off. Well, in the video, that's clarified. They actually see that you're working left to right. They're hearing it, they're seeing it, and then the motions that go with it. And my students, they crack me up because they're underneath the table moving their feet and, you know, wiggling with them and everything.
That's
you
great.
Know?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And so these videos, and I've seen other math videos, and you kind of go, as a math teacher, you're grinding your teeth and the hair on your neck just stood up because they didn't use the correct vocabulary. And you're like, okay, now I've got to go in and correct this. And these videos are awesome. They are on point. They are there. They're accurate. And the kids get it. I use them several different ways in my classroom. I have the videos playing when they walk in my room, so they know immediately what we're going to be going over in the classroom. I use it for, the acronym is RTI, which is Response to Intervention.
Right.
And so when my students come in and they're behind, that gives me a chance that I can pull those videos out, go over something with the kids. They get a new perspective on the information. I'm not Charlie Brown's teacher standing there squawking at them that they've heard 100 times and they haven't gotten it. And I use it that way. And then I also use it as just to remind them, to trigger that prior learning that they did the year before and to get some clarification so that I can expand on it. So, and then my kids, like I said, they crack me up. They're teenagers. They are typical teenagers. They want to save face. They want to do all of that. But you watch them walking down the hallway and they're singing the song as they go down the hallway.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And let me ask you, and you're the math department head. You're also obviously teaching classes. But as math department head, are there other teachers using it as well? Do they see the success you're having, your other math teachers?
They are using it. When you start looking at the upper level, and that's one of the things that Lana's been awesome about listening. And so we went in, we were struggling with systems of equations in Algebra 2. And lo and behold, there was a video. And so we were able to pull in that video into Algebra 2 and really trigger some things. They go in and like they use it more for engaging the prior knowledge that the students have got.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I have a brand new special ed teacher who is on fire. She is rocking it. And she found out about it. I showed her all about it, and she took it and ran with it. And she is
excited.
So she was like, my kids need every single one of these. So she is tickled pink with it.
What grade is she teaching?
Ninth grade.
High school.
High school. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 10th grade. And is she teaching it math with it, or is she using it for everything?
She is teaching math.
She's teaching math special ed.
Right.
Boy, she's going to heaven, I can tell you that much. Wow.
So she just fell in love with it. And she also has her doctorate,
that's
I'm not sure what in. And she was just elated to find it.
You know, that's a very, very interesting point, because God bless special ed teachers. And I'll tell you, whatever we can give them to help them teach, is especially this day and age, is really, really important. This is also important. Again, musology.com. Lana, how much does musology cost a school right now?
Larry, the pricing is tiered based on the number of students using it in the school, and we're happy to provide pricing to anyone if they email us at info@musology.com. We're also making a grant program available this year if there are teachers in schools who would like to use musology and are having trouble accessing, you know, the funds to purchase a typical subscription. We're finding
mm-hmm.
ways to work with teachers and schools to bring them the program this year.
Yeah, and I hope they do give the program this year, because I'll tell you, actually, it is all about math. You can do a video or a music a CD about this, okay? The DVD, CD, whatever. The thing is this. This is an investment, okay? No matter what it costs, it's going to pay off tenfold, okay?
Larry, there's something that you just triggered when you said that.
Do it.
I know Shirley can speak to it better than I. When you said, you know, this is an investment, what we see with students who use musology is that this is not simply about math achievement and proficiency. What happens for a lot of these learners who typically struggled with math or never experienced success in math historically is when this happens to them for the first time, when they get that 100% in a musology quiz, and something that they struggled to learn for months, suddenly it clicks and they get it. Everything changes for these kids at the level of self-confidence and self-concept and efficacy and motivation to learn more generally. And it's not just an investment in math proficiency. It's really an investment in these young people and their futures. Shirley, I know you saw some of that with your students.
I did. And my students, again, they crack me up because they're jumping up and down. I got 100%. And then they'll challenge each other. Did you get that 100%? No, I did. I'm the one that's rocking that 100%. What did you get? You know, and they kind of banter back and forth with each other. And you watch them walk with their head held high down the hallway. And it's not this dread of, I've got to go to school, or I've got to go to math class. And one of my students, and I love him dearly, the band director came up to me and he goes, I don't know what you're doing, but this kid's on fire. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I'm thinking, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And he has stepped up. He's now first chair in his section.
There you go.
He has
become
one of my strong in the band. He was a section leader. I mean, it really was taking the younger students up underneath his wings, doing all of this stuff with them. And he was like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm not doing anything. I found musology. He's building the confidence. He's doing it all. And
right.
He's
yeah,
figuring
and,
out
And I got to tell you, you know, every school district is yelling about SEL, student social emotional learning. All right. And
right.
Part of social emotional learning, your school is too, I know it, okay, is building confidence. And believe
yeah.
me, if when you start to understand math, and math goes way beyond math, it's logic, okay? And if when you start to understand logic, how things work, that applies to everything. That's why math is so important, okay, in my opinion, okay? And, you know, the whole idea of logic, and that gives you the confidence when you know you can figure stuff out. Okay, it's just that simple. Ladies, we got to go. You two are a team. I got to tell you, the Lana and Shirley show. Okay. Right.
Thank you, Larry, for having us. And thank you, Shirley, for taking time out of your teaching schedule to join us today.
Oh, it's not a problem. Anytime. I am Musology's biggest fan, I can guarantee you.
There you go. You two are wonderful. Thank you both. Shirley, have a great year. Okay, just have fun with those kids. It sounds like you are, but have fun with them. And we'll all get through this. Come hell or high water, we're going to get through this. Okay, that's all there is to it. Okay, it's that simple. And Lana, of course, you and I will be continuing to talk, so I'll talk to you again soon. Both of you, thanks a million.
Sounds wonderful. Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Shirley Forehand. Shirley is the math department head at Hall High School in Little Rock, which is in Arkansas. Okay, and Lana Israel, who is an astounding person. Okay, she published her first book when she was 13. She went to Harvard. She went to Oxford. She's a clinical psychologist. She's unbelievable. Okay, now she's the founder and CEO of Musology. This is no lightweight organization. Believe me, this is great stuff. All right, so please check it out, especially in this day and age of COVID. I'm telling you, we got to get these kids totally engaged, and music is the answer. Okay, it's Musology, MUZOLOGY.com. We'll archive. Well, just go over to ace-ed.org. Click on the Education Talk Radio podcast icon. It'll take you right to all the information about what we do on our podcast side. All right, and check out our magazine, join our consortium. Ladies, thanks a million. Everybody, please stay safe.